Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The Wisconsin volleyball is headed to the Final Four. And we will spend the next 2 hours and 59 minutes talking about that instead of the mile high low that the Green Bay Packers experienced yesterday edition. No, that's not true, of course. Packers lose much more than a football game in Denver. They fall to the Broncos 34-26. Was that a score, Gami?
It was not.
It was also not the biggest problem with yesterday's outcome as they lose Micah Parsons to what is believed to be, feared to be, and almost certainly is, a torn ACL in his left knee edition. We like to be a bastion of positivity around here. It'll be a challenge today edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. I had to deliver some of that positivity on Green Bay game night with Homer, who was in favor of essentially canceling the season. That's not necessary. Cancel your Super Bowl plans, though, I think. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. And a new dog owner? I had the sound off, so I don't know what was said, but there was a dog on Green Bay game night. The dog of the game was in Tausch's lap. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Did you have an announcement to raise everyone's spirits today?
No, but I did have a dog all weekend, and we have not. Augie, beautiful little dog.
Eleanor, Jerry Augustine, named after
Augie.
Jerry Augustine.
Yeah, I don't know why they named him Augie, but they did, and it's a great name. It's a really good dog. We had a great weekend with said dog, and I used Augie last night as a prop in the dog of the game. It was easy because Josh Jacobs was by far the dog of the game last night. And so was Augie. So, yeah, but Augie is going bye-bye and maybe coming back over the holidays. No,
go,
not
go,
like
go,
that.
Go.
Okay,
just
come
confirming.
On.
That's
not
good.
Everything is negative. So Augie will be back,
good.
And we'll maybe see if I don't know if we have any shows over the when they're here, but if they are, we'll bring Augie back. And so it was a nice respite for me, who was pretty bummed as a Packer fan, watching how yesterday played out.
Before we get further into that, was Augie's presence a positive factor in the Eleanor, Max, Sarah, Jesse, Jason, everyone except Mark, quest to get the Tauschers a dog.
Definitely. Definitely.
You're not just saying
good,
that, are you?
Good dog.
You're not just
good
saying
boy.
That,
no,
are
I'm
you?
Not. I would, no, I would tell you. You know I'm going to shoot straight with you.
That's yeah. true.
Definitely a
well,
positive.
Well,
good,
shoot
good
me,
boy.
Augie, good boy.
Shoot me straight about yesterday. Shoot me straight. I yeah. said to Homer, who wanted to cancel the season, look, Christian Watson, which has been confirmed by Ian Rappaport and by Rob Domofsky, but his father was the first to say it, which, again, as only Christian Watson's father can, essentially, bad news for the haters, number nine is fine. Again, I understand he's a dad defending his son, but that was an encouraging sign that the last phrase of that post was, number nine is fine.
So is he playing Saturday? Will he be playing Saturday, according to Mr. Watson?
He did not. Mr. Watson did not go further into detail on that. It's unclear about what his availability would be for Saturday. And unfortunately for us, there's no availability media-wise today. Which is not completely out of the norm. I don't want people jumping to the conclusion of, oh, all is lost and they're afraid to face Jason Wilde's long-winded questions and everything else that happens in a press conference. I'm assuming we will have access tomorrow because Tuesday is usually the off day during a normal week. So let's not jump to any conclusions just yet. But look, Christian Watson did not have to stay at the hospital. He was taken to a Denver hospital after the injury. He didn't have to stay, so that's great. When you hear chest, you think internal injuries, right? You think lung first, right? So that's good. He was able to travel home with the team. He didn't have to stay overnight in Denver either. That's good. And then, obviously, his dad's post. So that's a positive. Matt LaFleur also
said
this. Did
his dad post last night or this morning?
Last night. Last night. Like, okay. Almost right away.
I feel better if he does it this morning. So here's what I would say. Obviously, yesterday sucked. I thought it was a really fun game. Green Bay had, played so much better on offense than I anticipated and so much worse on defense than I anticipated. It was, a fun game to watch. And the game swung when we're up nine. And LaFleur, I'm not going to criticize LaFleur for that. I like that he went for the jugular.
Right.
We had people on game night last night calling, oh, you got to control the ball now. Step on their throats. Go up 16, maybe 17 points. And all of a sudden, that game's over. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind that. The injury sucks, and that's why you can second guess, and I get all that.
Yep.
But after that, for everybody that thinks that Christian Watson doesn't make a humongous difference with this offense, tell me how the rest of the game went after he went out with that shoulder.
I can tell you exactly how the rest of the game went, in fact.
It didn't go well. Okay, go ahead.
So, and by the way, the quarterback, Jordan Love starts that game. The first half, he threw for more yards than he ever has in a first half. He had almost reached the Prize Picks projection that we had said he would stay under as a program on Friday. He did end up going more instead of less, but not by much because of the way things changed after that happened. So the Packers, before that play, 297 yards of offense and 23 points. After that play, 65 yards of offense and 3 points.
Yeah. Yep.
Not great.
Yeah, I think
Bob.
All of the. So, what I wanted to say, and what I said last night on the show was the Micah Parsons injury is devastating. It's devastating.
No
and
doubt.
I think from a Super Bowl standpoint, it's really devastating. Mm-hmm. As far as chasing a one seed and. You know, Saturday is going to be it. Saturday will be the division. We win, we're going to win it. We lose, we probably won't.
Yeah.
So that we need Christian Watson back. If Christian Watson is not available, I don't think Matthew Golden is up to it yet. to go about, because we will have to score a substantial amount of more points than what we've been doing. And yesterday was a tough day for the defense. But Christian Watson's impact is gargantuan. I would argue, guys, you can't lose after once Tucker Kraft went out, because Tucker went out and our offense was shuffling around with our feet, not doing anything. And all of a sudden, our offense looks pretty dang good, really good yesterday until Christian went out. It's just a combination of all of the injuries yesterday. I don't have any problem with losing to Denver at Denver. I picked Denver to beat Green Bay. Denver's a good football team. Christian Watson needs to be back. If this team is going to have any chance of making a big-time push playoff-wise, he's going to need to be healthy and as dominant as he's been. And if not, it will be an early exit to any playoffs that this team will have.
I thought that there was an encouraging sign that there will be a player who will augment what Christian Watson does for them yesterday. We'll get into that. I thought what Josh Jacobs did yesterday as he continues to battle through that knee issue,
it looked
to me like the reality of, hey, man, we all understand you want to practice every day, right? Like Mark Tauscher and Brian Bulaga and so many others before him, you guys that are not on the big Lamborghini plan, God bless you. But sometimes it's better to be smart than tough. And I think it looked to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he probably benefited from a couple of days of no wear and tear on that knee during the week. It still, I'm sure, was bothering him by the end of the game, but he looked, the 40-yard touchdown run, are you kidding me? The catch that he makes? Like, they still have him. And this was the thing that I was trying to get through to Homer, who was despondent by the time I joined Green Bay game night last night. Is that, look, Jaden Reed, who did limp off late but appears to be okay, he is still a factor for these guys. Watson's injury, not long-term. Matt LaFleur also said that Zach Tom, his knee injury, not long-term. Now, does that mean he'll be ready for Saturday? Who knows? No one at this point. Evan Williams, his knee injury, not long-term. Does that mean he'll be ready for Saturday? Again, we don't know. But my position, and call me a Pollyanna-ish, cockeyed optimist, but I don't think all is lost for the season. Homer just wanted to call it Rap City. But I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl without the two players that they could least afford to lose, not named Jordan Love. Which, that doesn't mean that you just throw your cards in the middle of the table and call it a day. There's a lot of things that could come from the final three games and making the playoffs and doing something good. You've been on, if I recall, and I know this isn't apples to apples, but you were on two teams that overcame adversity and finished seasons strong, and it did carry over into the following year.
Yeah,
and again,
it's a different era, though, now.
I understand, but they didn't get Micah Parsons. I said this to Homer, too. They didn't get Micah Parsons simply as a CC Sabathia rental. Now, ACLs are problematic, obviously. You went through two of them. Bulaga went through two of them. Rashawn Gary went through one, and we can argue about where he's at now, but it is not where he was before that injury. Is that because of the injury? Is that because of other factors? I don't know. We don't know how Micah Parsons is going to come back, but I would argue that based on what we have learned about him to this point, he's more likely to come back like Christian Watson than he is like players who are never the same after an ACL tear. Would you agree or disagree with that?
ACLs are getting easier and easier to come back from, and we saw Christian Watson got back earlier and has been dominant. So I'm not worried about long term.
Okay,
I would bet Micah Parsons will push, and obviously getting injured in December stinks. But you got a full season. Nobody should be writing the season off. The idea of being one of the top teams without two of your best players is a big reach. But this is a season that you can find ways to do it. I think last night we were all, I just felt like when Micah grabbed his knee and did that, it felt like the air came out the balloon, and I'm sure players felt that way. I love how Matt LaFleur approached it with nobody is going to care. You think anybody ever feels sorry for the Green Bay Packers? They don't, and they shouldn't, and you shouldn't. That said, having somebody that gets double-teamed and triple-teamed to the extent that they do and the production he has, that you don't replace. So now Jeff Hafley's going to have to get more creative. Everybody will have to bow up and do things, and the main guy is Jordan Love. This went from a defensive-led team to now Jordan Love. Put him on your back. You're going to have to get a can. You're going to have to get the cape out a lot more than you need than you would have done prior. I still think that this team, with all this said, can beat anybody, but they're much more vulnerable to get beat by anybody also, because you take a stud like Micah off the field, and I'm caveating all of this with Christian Watson being back. If Christian Watson is not back, this offense is going to struggle in a bigger way than I think we all anticipate, and then if that's the case, then we're in big trouble, and I don't feel as bullish. We're still going to be a playoff team, and everything comes down to me. Everything comes down to Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
If Green Bay can win, all of a sudden I'm looking at this like we should be able to get into the divisional round of the playoffs. If they don't, you start feeling like it's going to be more of a one-and-done type situation. So that's how vital Saturday will be, and we'll get into that. But the disappointment from yesterday is palpable for me, and I still feel that today.
Right, and it's, I don't have any problem with everybody being disappointed, right? You have every right to be disappointed as a fan, as a player, as a coach, and kind of like after wins, where you have 24 hours to celebrate, you probably have a little bit less because of a short week, but you have 24 hours to mourn. I mean, then you got to figure out a way to rally the troops.
By the time you get over there today, it's over. There's no more mourning. It's time.
Right.
Get back on it.
I want to get to calls. I think whether it's a therapy session or a venting session or Lord knows, if you're actually still bringing a positive attitude after what happened yesterday with Micah Parsons.
Well, what is a positive attitude? Is a positive attitude winning the division and, you know, winning a playoff game? Because
yes.
Some would say that's what our goal would have been. I was not in that camp. I thought this team, even with Tucker being out, was a Super Bowl team. I don't feel that today. That doesn't mean we can't go 3-0 and all of a sudden still somehow sneak a one seed or a two seed, and I feel a heck of a lot better about it.
Right.
But that's not how I feel today. I don't feel that way today.
I think there was a chance that I was going to be proven wrong when I said after they lost Tucker Kraft that they were not a Super Bowl team anymore. In part because of Christian Watson and the way they seemed to find their footing offensively, and my belief that their defense was really, really good with Micah Parsons. So I thought, you know what? They've won four in a row. Dude, sitting there at halftime of this game, I thought for sure they were going to win this game and that they were really ready for liftoff. Like I thought the way they were playing, and I understand the defense had some troubles with Bo Nix yesterday. But I thought at halftime...
Some troubles?
Well, at halftime, it was... What was the score at halftime? 16-14? Like, yeah. They scored another 20.
Dude, we turned Bo Nix into Drew Brees prime yesterday. That was a bad performance by our defense. Let's not sugarcoat anything. That's with Micah, by the way.
Yeah, in the first half, I thought that it wasn't catastrophically bad performance. It was bad.
We got a fumble. They don't get a fumble. They got 21. They fumbled the ball. The defense stunk yesterday. The defense was bad yesterday.
At halftime.
Trust me, I don't want to say it was good. It was bad, but it was. Our offense was great. So was theirs, turns out.
At halftime, the Packers held a 16-13 lead, right?
16-14
lead. I understand their defense was bad all day.
No, they stunk. It wasn't bad.
Okay, I felt pretty good about where they were at, if I could just feel my feelings for a second. At halftime, I thought they were in a really good spot. And then they come out and score early in the third quarter to make it 23-14, and I think this team is ready to rocket into the stratosphere. They're going to win out, and they're going to make a run in the postseason because they're taking a team that's won 10 in a row and on the road, and they are playing really, really good football. I understand the defense was not, but their offense was finally clicking. I felt really good about them. And I think this is where fans probably were as well, until Micah Parsons grabs his knee with 55 seconds left in the third quarter. So I think there was reason to be really excited about them on the road against a team that is 11-2, or now, I guess, 12-2. We'll see. But where do you go from here is the question. And to me, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team anymore. That's my realistic view. Do I think they can still win the division? Absolutely. Do I think they can win a home playoff game if they have a home playoff game? Absolutely. Depends on the matchup. But if you want to just say, forget it, they're not going to win the Super Bowl, so there's no point, I don't understand that mentality. And you could say that it's a polluted mindset to say, well, they go as far as they could go, and even if they can't win the Super Bowl, there's still things that could be considered successes given the circumstances. If you think that that's a loser's mentality, that's fine. Feel your feelings. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. We'll get to your thoughts coming up after Tausch tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yeah, we can have disagreements whether the defense stunk or not yesterday. We're not going to have any disagreements with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And you know what? It might be hard to find a good bargain during the shopping season. Pella wants to make everybody's holiday brighter and clearer through beautiful new windows. And boy, watching the game yesterday, it was chilly now. Real chilly now. And the house stayed nice and warm because we got these beautiful Pella windows. All of that cash stays in. All of that cold air stays out. And you know what? Pay zero interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You can have the same. Pella's Elves, they install year-round, can finish installation in as little as a day. Again, zero interest for 24 months. Hurry up, this deal ends after December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details. Jason, I also, LaFleur, I thought, carved up a great game plan yesterday, but the old Matt LaFleur reared his ugly head yesterday.
Emotional match.
I hated it. I'll tell you when that happened and why I hated it, unless you have something else you need to read, and I'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Very tough, I think anybody on your team that goes down is tough, and Micah, I didn't even see the play, what happened, but anytime you're down on the ground, holding a knee, it's tough. So we'll see what ended up happening, but it's definitely tough, and obviously to lose a player like Micah was a tough blow for us.
A tough blow indeed. In fact, as my buddy Chris Roth said as we were doing our little TV program on WBAY up here, if you had played a drinking game during the post-game interviews with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and drank every time you heard the word tough, you would have not been coherent by the time those press conferences were over. Packers lose 34-26. To the Denver Broncos, and more importantly, lose Micah Parsons. We are awaiting confirmation of what everyone fears, and that is that he tore his ACL in yesterday's loss. Tausch, the Matt LaFleur that you are not a fan of reared his ugly head once again. Tell us when and why.
Yeah, I don't know. It was in the fourth quarter. It was a big fourth down play. And Denver, you'll take that all day. They throw a, basically a sideline fade on fourth and one or two. And the guy makes a great play. Nix throws a great throw. And in a game where you are down eight and you need your timeouts, it felt as if Matt LaFleur kind of went back. I think he's been so much better this year, and I want to commend him. I think he did work at this in the offseason, but it just felt like the old Matt LaFleur reared his ugly head, and I hope we don't see it again, where he just emotionally was pissed that the play worked, and nobody could have told him that that was a good challenge. If somebody did, tell me where, because it was clear as day he caught the ball 2 feet, boom, boom, boom. And I didn't love that. I wish we'd have had another timeout. I don't know what would have happened. I know this, wasting that timeout didn't help any cause. And I don't think it made Matt LaFleur feel better. So I want that era to be done. I thought it was, and it reared its ugly head last night, and I didn't like it.
So the Packers are trailing in the moment 27-26. Bo Nix has thrown an incomplete pass with 9:03 to go on 3rd and 2 from the Packers' 41-yard line. The Broncos decide to go for it after the timeout on 4th and 2, and Bo Nix hits Cortland Sutton for a 26-yard gain to the Packers' 15-yard line. Matt LaFleur throws the challenge flag, even though I thought it was obvious that Sutton had made the catch. At the time, there is 8:33 left in the game, and the Packers are down 1 point. It is 27-26. Now, they have lost Micah Parsons already. They have lost Christian Watson. So I am sure that the Kubler-ing, as we like to call it on this program, is already in motion.
I get it, man. Like I understand what he's feeling, but you're a head football coach. That's not how this works.
You have to be more in control than your fans who are devastated by the injury to Micah
Parsons. We're all frustrated and devastated. And it was a hell of a play by them. I don't know what Sean Payton was doing at the end of the game. He kept giving Green Bay opportunities, and I don't know if part of it was he just felt without Watson, the offense wasn't going to hurt him, and it turns out that is what happened.
That's right, yep.
But all in all, I mean, I think Green Bay had a lot to be very happy about just on the field offensively. Jordan was really good, and then obviously, picks, the picks came back. The one, I don't know if he leads Watson a little bit differently, if that's a different play. Again, no problem with that play call. I thought LaFleur dialed up some really good stuff yesterday.
Yeah.
Offense was humming. And it's is a tough place to go win. We knew that. I told you that in May, and it didn't change. It's a tough place, but we can't let Bo Nix look like a vintage Drew Brees. That can't happen. It did, and that is why we lost yesterday. It wasn't because of anything else. It's because our defense, regardless of how you feel they played in the first half, the defense stunk yesterday. Wasn't good enough to win.
So, and yet, they're in a position. Just let's play this out, and then we'll get to your calls next. That catch is a huge catch. We all agree. So now it's 1st and 10 at the Green Bay 15. They get them to 3rd and 3 at the 8. And Bo Nix throws an incomplete pass that Nate Hobbs plays good defense on to Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's got one of my favorite names in the league. But Kingsley Enagbare is offsides. So that wipes out that third down stop.
Was that the 12th man? Was that 12 men on the field?
Yes. So they have.
If you have another timeout, you use that there instead of throwing a ridiculous challenge.
So they're down to one timeout at that point. If they don't have substitution problems, which I think Matt LaFleur was unhappy about because he thought that the play had been stopped for substitutions, etc. But the bottom line is, if you don't have that scenario unfold with a guy running on late to be the 12th man, by the way, yeah, it's not like they had 10 and he was running on late. You're still, you hold them to a field goal there, and it's a four-point game. Instead, they get the touchdown. It's now 34-26. You're down 8. Jordan Love, two plays later, throws the pick on the, I think it's across the middle to Wicks, that gets intercepted. And then, like you said, I don't understand what the Broncos were doing, trying to, in their meaty, they had a chance to close out the game. They didn't do it. Instead, twice, the Packers get two more opportunities with the ball. It's not like all, it felt like all was lost because of the injuries and because of the way they played, but the game was still there. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why your point is a very good one. You know, they have a 4th and 9 at the Denver 43 with 2.5 minutes left, and Jordan gets sacked for an 11-yard loss on 4th and 9 from the 43. I mean, despite everything terrible that had happened, the game wasn't over. It just felt that way.
Yep, I agree.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. We will get to your calls coming up. Tausch, one other question I wanted to ask. You know, we talked about when you fire a coach and whether the team, like when they were playing the Giants, they got a bump from the replacement of Brian Daboll with Mike Kafka. Is there any sort of one-game galvanization of a team if the other players that left the game with injuries are okay and you're able to field a competitive unit on Saturday? Is there any sort of, I don't want to say win one for the Gipper, but is there anything to, hey, nobody's giving us a chance anymore, we lost our stud on each side of the ball now this season? Is there anything to that in the short term?
Sure. Yeah, anytime you're going to hear all week, oh, this season's gone, all the other stuff, and guys will galvanize around that, and they will try and up their game, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But I want to be crystal clear. If Christian Watson is available and healthy, I like Green Bay to beat the Bears. If he's not, I've seen this play before. This offense will struggle without him. We've seen it, and I don't know how that will change. So I think that's where you take a beat. You don't panic.
Have a meal.
You can feel your feels, man. We think we all felt our feels last night. We should. That's the beauty of being a fan. But if Christian Watson, I saw his dad, and I just saw Domofsky, and I saw Ian Rapoport, it sounds like there's nothing wrong internally. Now, whether or not his shoulder is going to be all banged up and he's going to be able to play with one arm, I don't know.
Right.
That was a big – it definitely looked rough when he landed. And we'll see. I just am glad it's not a collarbone. That was what I was worried about.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
If that's the case, it would have been a deuces B. And then if it's a deuces B, then it's a deuces B for the season. And it's not. So let's take a beat and see how it shakes itself out. But this is a great opportunity for this team. You got to remember, guys, this squad last year was a top-5 defense without Micah.
Correct.
Remember that. And, by the way, created a heck of a lot of turnovers. Maybe Jeff Hafley is going to have to go into his bag. Remember all the simulated pressures and all this stuff? Now you have a full year. You haven't seen any of this, or very minimal, because you got Micah. Jeff Hafley's going to have to earn it. And he wants to go get a head coaching job, which, hey, if you can, kudos to you. Go do. You got 3 weeks here to kind of show yourself. And let's not – I was super discouraged by how the defense played yesterday because I didn't anticipate that at all. So you're playing the Bears. The Bears are very limited offensively. They're going to run the football. We can stop the run. We've shown that. Now can we get after them? And that's going to be up to Hafley to come up with some scheme, I think, to do that without Micah Parsons being available.
You, sir, are really going to earn your money today. That's the line that I think of to Jeff Hafley, because this is now it is time for him to conjure up a defensive game plan without Micah Parsons that is going to win.
It's him
on
and Jordan
Saturday.
Love.
Yep, I agree.
To me, him and Jordan Love will dictate how the rest of this season goes.
Yep. We're on the same page with that. We're also on the same page with Jesse's AI-generated rundown, where it says that I should tell you about Associated Bank. Which, hey, we talk about Associated Bank all the time. They sponsor our three things to watch every game day. But most importantly, they are the best bank in the business, and they've got the best customer service. I've experienced it. So many others have. And if you haven't and you're tired of your bank, make the switch to Associated Bank. You'll get early pay, which means you have access to your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early. You'll get credit monitoring to make sure that you're ready to make that big purchase, like our Steinhoffel's couches, knowing where your credit score is. And they've got fraud protection to make sure that if somebody tries to steal your information or your money, they've got your back. On top of that, there's Brewers checking, Badgers checking, and Packers checking, so you can show your true fan colors. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. There was a Dunzo sighting yesterday from one Jesse J. Nelson, and it was not about the Nebraska volleyball team.
That could have been about the Nebraska volleyball team, though.
Huskers no more.
Dunzo! Lincoln, Nebraska! World Tour!
Jesse has a theory on that. I'm hoping we don't have enough time to get to it, frankly. Your calls next, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Is all lost? Do you still have hope? Where are you as a Packers fan today after losing to the Broncos and losing Micah Parsons? That is the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. It's your turn next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
A bunch of plays. I mean, you know, we went down, we scored, we got a three and out, and then took a shot, got the coverage we wanted, and Surtain made a hell of a play. So give him a lot of credit. He's one of the best in the business, and you know, it's just good play by him.
A good play by him indeed. Boy, you could just hear it in his voice. Can you not? Like you said, we're all human, and I get the emotion. But not great. 844-770.
Listen, I love him being emotional in post game and in the locker room and all that. You can't do it when you're throwing challenge flags because you're mad. Like that's all. It's nothing about it. I love Matt LaFleur called a great game yesterday and was. I think Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. I just want to specify that. But that was a bad move again, and it's a pattern that I thought he had broke, and I hope he does. And I hope he learns from yesterday that you can't do that.
844-770-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. You might want to text for now because we have full phone lines. Well done, Jesse.
All I did was answer him. Well done, our fans calling it.
Thank you for your service, Jesse. Let's get started. Let's start with Andy in Waukesha. Andy, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Where are you at as a Packers morning, fan?
Morning, guys. Well, I'm feeling very sad, both for and about Micah Parsons today, because he was by far the best Packer player to watch on defense over the past decade. Made it real fun to watch the team. But actually, Jason, I wanted to focus my call on something you said last night on the postgame show, and you talked about this morning, and that's what these final three games of the season are going to mean. I think it's a really, really interesting point, and what they're going to mean for the Packers generally and for head coach Matt LaFleur more specifically. Because if the Packers do go 3-0 or 2-1 with a win over the Bears, they're winning the North, and they will be the number two seed, and that will be a successful season by anyone's imagination, I would think. But if they instead go 1-2, or God forbid 0-3, they're either going to be the number 7 seed, or, and I think Tausch may be underestimating this possibility, they could be out of the playoffs altogether. They could fall behind the Lions. So this sets up a fascinating scenario in my mind, in which a Packers team that's facing undeniable adversity is either going to go out in the 2025 season with a bang by winning the division, getting a home playoff game, or a whimper. And you touched on it last night, Jason. I think this is really telling. I think I differ from you. I see this is going to be more like 2021, 2022, and 2024. I see another whimper, but I hope it's with a bang they go out.
Yeah, I look, I don't have a crystal ball. I do have this, though, and thanks for the call, Andy. Tausch, I think it's also a critical three-game stretch for the head coach. Mm-hmm. Like, look, if and let me be very clear. In my opinion, if Ed Policy decides after they won four in a row, figured out how to get their offense going again after losing Tucker Kraft, if they crater here, and I'm not saying they quit. I'm saying they play poorly and lose. If he decides that it's time to change coaches because of that, I am not on board with that. I'm not here to carry Matt LaFleur's water for him. Do I think he... I agree with Tausch about what he said about the challenge. He is not a perfect head coach. But if he were to decide, well, you know, they lost out, they finished with the seventh seed and lost the first-round playoffs, or heaven forbid, as Andy said, they lose and miss the playoffs and they lose out. If he decides to change coaches after what they've endured, losing their best non-quarterback on each side of the ball, I say good luck in finding a better coach. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I still think that there is a lot to be gained here, but I think there's a lot on the line for Matt LaFleur to make sure he is, you know, solidifies, hey, we faced a ton of adversity. I talk about adversity all the time, right? He does. All the time he's talking about adversity. He does it more than I do. Now they've got real adversity. And if he can galvanize his team and they can win the division and they can get a playoff game at home, win it, I don't know how you could be unhappy with him as the coach. If it goes the other way, Tausch, how concerned should he be about his situation?
I don't think he should be worrying about that, but obviously, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal, we think. I mean, they maybe extended him and haven't told us. I don't know what they... You know, I don't
they
know
have
how
done that before. Yes, that's fair.
It's a critical three games, and you're in a position where it's gotten more... because of the injuries, it's gotten more difficult, but this team needs to make the playoffs. This is... Now, if they don't win the division and the Bears end up beating them on Saturday, all right, I understand. I'm not going to be happy. But you've positioned yourself. You'd have to collapse here. You'd have to lose four in a row to not make the playoffs. You win one of these next three, you're making the playoffs. Feel very confident about that. And if that is indeed the case, all right, then you go ahead. And if you don't make it, you don't win, there'll be conversations. It's a tough call for Ed Policy because Matt LaFleur is going to want a 5-year deal. I don't know where Ed's head's at. You're going to have to commit. And when you do that, you're committing to how Matt LaFleur goes about his business. And if you think Packer fans are content with first-round exits in playoffs or not making playoffs, that's not how this works. So it is. I think it's a huge three-game stretch, but I'll be shocked if the Green Bay Packers don't find a way to make the playoffs. I'll be very surprised. I don't, regardless of the injuries.
I still think they're going to win on Saturday night. Let's get to another call. This is one we need. Unless, of course, he's completely downtrodden, which would be against his brand. We go north of the border. Whoa, Canada. A disappointed fan.
How do you think, before Ricardo jumps on, what do you think his tone's going to be?
I think he's going to try and raise our spirits because that's the kind of teammate he is.
I think he's down in the dumps. All right. I think he's down in the dumps.
We'll find out together. Ricardo, my friend, welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, my fellow Green Bay Packer fans, Packer Nation. Listen, in regards to what happened yesterday, Micah Parsons, like Denzel said, you cannot replace the Vertier, all right? You cannot do it. But guess what? We still got everything ahead of us, all right? We need
Remember
to play better
Titans.
As a team. Regardless of Parsons getting hurt, and that's a huge, huge, huge hit. But that didn't affect Rashid Walker not being able to block anybody. That didn't affect our cornerback deciding that they don't have to cover the guy in front of them at all. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do. We need to play better as a team. There's 55 other men, grown men in that locker room that need to stand up. Now, in a few things I'm going to say is this. One, Halfley, you want to become a head coach. Well, guess what? Now, this is your chance. This is your audition right here. Mm-hmm. You lost your best piece. Yep. Now, here's your ingredients. Make something gourmet. Start blitzing. Start doing something. You need to make something happen. Something needs action comes from reaction. So enough is enough. Matt LaFleur, we need you to not be emotional like you are. And I'm not talking about the challenge flag. Yes, that is that was inexcusable on its own. But I don't need you at the press conference looking like the steward of Gondor when Mordor is at the gates, telling everybody to re and flee for panic. Okay. You're looking like you're about to cry, all right? You're a grown man. You're a leader of men. I need you to have a backbone and tell everybody, we're going to be okay. We will figure it out. It sucks for Micah, but we need to figure it out now. We literally have the season ahead of us still, okay? We don't need to win 5 in a row to make the playoffs. We need to win one game for the division, one or two, but one. The next one's important, all right? Yep. Morgan Freeman always – I'm hitting the pulp culture today, boys. Morgan Freeman said – when you ask God for courage, does he give you courage or a chance to be courageous? So all those players are ask God to be great. He gives you an opportunity to be great. This is your opportunity now. Figure it out. Beat the men in front of you, win the division, and do it for Micah. Jordan Love, this is your team now. This is your team now. Literally, it is yours. No co-MVP, nothing. You are the leader of this team now. No more fadeaway jumpers. Plant your foot, drive the ball down the field. Watson, according to his father, should be okay. Hopefully he's back. Lead your troops. Lead your men. We have the season ahead of us. This isn't a funeral. It's an opportunity now. We do it for Micah. Do it for the nation. Let's go. We've gone too far to give up now. We got this, boys. Come on. Beat the Bears.
Hey, Ricardo. Ricardo, great call.
Yeah, buddy.
But what if Morgan Freeman and Rashid Walker had a tough fourth quarter? What if he just said about Micah? I just miss my friend. I miss my friend.
I gotta say,
there's a reason I didn't say that one. Okay, ignore that. Ignore certain positive, certain aspects. Okay, think positively. Hide the negatives. Illuminate the positives. Come on, Tausch.
Hide the negatives. All right. Ricardo was optimistic. Jason, you were right. Here's the deal, though. Love all the optimism that Ricardo put. Great call. Brought up a lot of really good points and some negative things that you have to worry about. Here's my biggest concern. Our secondary, Keyshawn Nixon, got torched yesterday.
He did not have a good day. Agreed.
How you think that's going to go when you start putting more people up and you need to blitz and you don't have Micah?
He's got to elevate his game too, right?
You feel confident about that?
Look, I think he's played some pretty good football for good chunks of the season. He did not play well yesterday. As you pointed out, a lot of them didn't.
Is our secondary good enough without an elite pass rush? Yes or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good enough.
Wow.
Not great.
Wow.
Not elite.
Good enough for what? Good enough for what, though?
Good enough to beat the Bears.
Okay.
Good enough to beat J.J. McCarthy, although the Cowboys made him look pretty good last night. Good enough to win the division. Maybe good enough to win a playoff game. Again, I'm not going to palm this. Yesterday, they were not in no way. I don't know why we argued about this earlier. I agree with you. Their defense was nowhere near good enough.
You got mad about it. I don't even
because
know
because you wouldn't let me finish the thought on the first half, which I thought. Again, when they're sitting at 23-14, You're telling me you're not feeling good about this team?
Not
after the 40-yard touchdown run?
No, I still didn't feel good about our defense.
Yeah.
No, I felt great about our offense.
So
I can have my feelings. Hey, I can feel my feelings too, Jason.
Yes, you
it's
can.
Not just your feelings.
Yes, you can.
Okay, what, thanks. I'm going to go get my dog. I want to go cuddle with my dog.
Your emotional support Augie. Animal.
Oh, give me Augie, good boy.
You can borrow Mo.
Augie.
By the way, can we just
Mo
for a moment?
Mo liked me too. Yeah, it's true.
Mo likes everybody.
Am I secretly
becoming a dog guy? Dogs like me. Wow, that's fun.
I like me. Dogs like me. My wife likes me. Which, by the way, I got to finish that documentary on John Candy that I started on Amazon. I'm very excited to watch that. Can we just
wait a second? Go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. That's Mo right there, right?
Mo's on the right. Rufus on the left. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this good-looking boy. Oh, good boys. Oh, good boys.
I would just like to pause for a moment and thank Ricardo for his call.
That was a good call.
And
a really
I never
call.
I never thought we would get a Bruce Almighty reference. And Micah Parsons compared to Gary Bertier. In Remember the Titans. So
yeah, Bertier couldn't cover and run like Micah. Come on. Micah also, got up to 20 miles an hour yesterday. God, he's such a freak. That's the part that's so disheartening to me. He's such a freak, and he's such a good player. And, oh. Yeah.
Well, pour one out for Micah Parsons, but don't use your Tito's vodka. Because you want to keep that.
Well, yesterday was a tough day, but it was a great day later if you're a Badger volleyball fan. So you really had, the somber Tito's, which I don't know what you'd usually go with for somber Tito's. Maybe a tonic? And then a festive Tito's with a cranberry after the big win against Texas. So you had all the Tito's last night. Tito's makes great drinks, but they also give back in a big way. Partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka. And it's bottled right down there where Wisconsin took it to the University of Texas down in Austin. And we did craft it to be savored responsibly because we kicked the living you-know-what out of them horns. Hook 'em. Ha! Blank hook 'em. What do we say? We ain't blanking losing. Yeah, we ain't blanking losing in Austin. Grab yourself a Tito's and celebrate.
More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I think it's easy. I think we got a connected team, and I think I know how our guys will respond. And we got a great test coming up. You know, going to Chicago, a game that went down to the wire last time we played, and obviously they rolled today. So it's to go back on top of the division. So I know we're going to get their best, and they're going to get our best.
That is Matt LaFleur. In the aftermath of yesterday's loss in Denver, with the short week, no media availability today. So if you were hoping we would get clarity straight from the coach's mouth on several of the injured players, that is not going to occur. We will seek clarity through other channels. But again,
Jason,
I think...
quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You were around. I don't know what role you had when Reggie White yanked his hamstring and was missing time. What was the vibe? Because you had Favre. What was the vibe of that team when that happened?
Not dissimilar to this.
Okay. Because we won a championship with Reggie getting that hammy healed up, right?
Yes. Now, I don't think God is going to heal Micah Parsons' ACL for
us. We don't
us.
Know. No, we don't know yet. We didn't ask.
You're a good Catholic.
We
fellow.
Haven't asked.
You haven't asked. So in your prayers last night, you
I
did
don't
not
even know.
Say...
We haven't even gotten the full-on diagnosis yet of what it is. Like, we've heard rumors and we think we know, but my point is, it's, you know, I know everybody doesn't want to make that comp. That Reggie was able to come back and obviously had three sacks in the Super Bowl and whatnot.
No, wait. I've tried to correct you less.
I just asked you if that was right.
No. You asked me what the mood was. It was 1990.
I said, was it the Super Bowl year?
No, and I never answered that because you kept talking.
Oh. Well, it's one of these days, Jesse, huh? Well before 11:15 today. All right, Jason, go ahead. My bad.
That was in the 1995 season that happened. It was in December of 95. They make it to an NFC Championship game where they lose to the Cowboys. But their season was not over because of his hamstring, and God healed his hamstring, as the Minister of Defense told us all. It was not modern medicine. It was not an inaccurate diagnosis. God healed him. Now the floor is once again yours.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's get to a call. Who's up, Jesse?
Thomas in Chicago.
There we go.
Hello, Thomas. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jason. How are you?
Been better.
How are you feeling as a Packers fan in Chicago on this fine Monday morning?
I'm dead inside. I'm numb. Not good. You know, it's rough being in Chicago, obviously being a Packers fan. And, you know, obviously with you guys. And then I just want to be straightforward. I am one of those people who is, like, Super Bowl or bust or championship bust. That's just because, like, my other teams, that's how they operate from the top down. But I'm always someone who can, like, reel in expectations of, like, for example, this year, injuries. Okay, what's the success for this year like? So I'm not, like, that type of person where it's, like, you have to win every year. There's obviously that time where it's like if injuries happen or something happens, there's obviously something to change. Mm-hmm. But my main question is, where is all of a sudden this help going to come from? Like, and you could put this on Goody with his terrible draft picks. I mean, I think from 2018 to 2021, it's like, 0-1-1 people left from the draft class. You could put this on coaching for not getting scheming guys open, where if you watch the Lions and Rams game, those guys were open for days. You could put this on the players of, hey, guys, we got to step up. Like, it takes a village. It takes all 53 guys. So I just feel like we've seen this move before. Again, optimistic. I still think we can beat the Bears. We go to the playoffs. I just think we're at the point yet again where – we can't beat the good teams, and that we're just the same. We're just a good team, but we just can't punch through the ceiling.
Thomas, if Micah Parsons doesn't tear his ACL with 55 seconds left in the third quarter, do you believe the Packers win the game yesterday?
I think so.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I mean, this is a devastating loss of a marquee potential future Hall of Fame player. And did they handle it because they're humans, not as well as you would like them to? Absolutely. You would like them to dig deep and figure out a way to win. It is still 27-26 after Brandon McManus kicks a field goal. Like, they're not dead. It obviously spiraled thereafter, including with Matt LaFleur's challenge. This was a team that won four in a row. This was a team that was looking like it was a legit Super Bowl team. This was a quarterback who was looking like an MVP candidate. It did not happen yesterday. You deserve to be downtrodden. All Packers fans do. The players were. You could feel it. As Rob Domofsky pointed out, listening to Xavier McKinney afterward, he went through at least four of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross five stages of grief. I don't think he was at acceptance. That's what I used as the lead to my game story. But I don't know if I'm in a position where I think we should be questioning everything about this team. Now, let's see how they respond. Let's see if Matt LaFleur rises to the occasion. Let's see if Jeff Hafley rises to the occasion. Let's see if the quarterback rises to the occasion. Let's see if Rashawn Gary, who was emotional after the game, according to the reporters in the locker room in Denver, let's see if he channels that into being a beast of a pass rusher and starts getting sacks, which he hasn't done in seven games. Let's see if they rally around losing their defensive leader. Because I'm sorry, do I believe they're a Super Bowl team? No, I said that already. Not without Tucker Kraft and now not without Micah Parsons. But there is a lot still to be accomplished here, and you never know. I don't think that it's realistic to expect a Super Bowl. But I think it's realistic to expect them to beat the Bears. I think it's realistic to expect them to win the division. I think it's realistic to expect them to win a home playoff game. But those people that we're talking about here, Matt LaFleur, Jeff Hafley, Jordan Love, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley Enagbare, Xavier McKinney, who had two interception opportunities that he dropped, Christian Watson, if he is indeed healthy enough to play on Saturday and moving forward, Jaden Reed, Josh Jacobs, who was a dog yesterday, Matthew Golden, who finally showed up. I don't think it's all over. I just think it's unrealistic to expect them to go to a Super Bowl now, given the circumstances. We'll get to more of your calls in the 10 o'clock hour after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Yeah, Sarah and I, we got about, 15, 16 days left as we've teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. Plus, American Family Insurance, like they've done the last two or three years, will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000 through the end of the year. That means we will raise $100,000 for the Children's Hospital. Visit AmFamKids.org to help donate today.
We'll go straight back to your calls in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.